appreciate the praises. He's worthy of it. That's what we'll be doing through eternity, praising Him. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 5. We'll start with verse number 1, read down through verse number 12, and pick up our verse for today. The Bible says, and in verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's what Miss Stephanie was talking about there. Boy, we need that hunger and thirst for God. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Here's our verse for today. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again today.
Yes, Lord.
Our privilege
to have
been in
the house of
God.
Thank you.
Lord,
yes.
Help us today.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Please, Lord. Yes,
Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Verse number 8 is where we're taking our text primarily today. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We've been studying now for some time this Sermon on the Mount. We're in the section called the Beatitudes. These first 12 verses, really verse 3 through verse 12, deal with these 9 Beatitudes. And we've been dealing with these one by one, Sunday after Sunday, Sunday morning, sometimes Sunday night as well. As we looked at it, I mentioned that these are not the way to tell us how to be saved. This is not how you get saved. By the way, you don't get saved. This idea, shall see God, does not mean people come to God by just being so good. That's not what it's saying at all. But it's saying they'll be blessed to see God, amen, when they have their heart purified. And of course, it takes God to do that. These are not statements how to be saved, but it's telling us how the saved ought to behave, really. That's the attitude, I believe, that ought to be in the child of God. Somebody called it this. They said it's the birthmarks of true Christianity. That's a pretty good statement, and I think that is true. I've mentioned repeatedly that these Beatitudes climb one upon the other, like rungs on a ladder. And I'm not going to run over them again, each one as we have before, to show you the progress. But I will just simply say this, that at least a couple of commentators that I read said that they believe this one is the pinnacle, that this is the top. By the way, when you get to God, that's better than even getting into the kingdom. That's better than even just being blessed. That's better than being comforted. When you get to God, I mean, that's the top. Amen. And so no doubt that is the truth. And this is the highest rung on the ladder and the pinnacle of the Beatitudes. Now, as we've looked at this is the sixth Beatitude that we've looked at. And I've alliterated them. I actually used another man's alliteration. But giving you the thought there, first of all, blessed are the poor in verse number 3. Then blessed are the pining in verse 4, calls them those that mourn. In verse number 5, blessed are the pliant, that's those that are meek, they're workable. And then blessed are the panting, those that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness in verse number 6. And then number 5, verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, and those are the pitying, those that have pity on others. And now today we're looking at blessed are the pure. Now it's not just pure, but it's pure in heart. That's to the core. That's what that's dealing with. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now as we deal with that this morning, I want to give you some thoughts. And then we'll come back tonight and see whether we look at it again or not. I'm not certain as to which way I'm going tonight, just to be honest with you. But we'll see how that goes as we think about it. Blessed are the pure in heart. As I think about that, I told Brother Hall, Mrs. Hall's heard enough about the heart lately. But she's going to hear about the heart today. Amen. And we need purity of heart, the Bible says. He says that is blessed. Now, not they will be blessed, but they are already blessed. Again, this is not working our way toward salvation. These are people already saved, and he's showing you how blessed they are. Amen. And if you want to stay in the blessed will of God, in other words, if you want to stay under the umbrella of God's blessings, you got to work on maintaining these attitudes. Amen. These beatitudes, this fruit of the Spirit, I believe, that we can see as we go along in this. So when we deal with this, first of all, I want to talk about the definition of pure in heart. The definition, this phrase, pure in heart, comes from two Greek words. And I don't know a lot about Greek, but I can look up a Strong's Concordance. And the word pure is Strong's number 2513. It's a word that is translated or actually means clean. It's the word katharos. K-A-T-H-E-R-O-S, katharos. And it means to cleanse from filth and impurity. In a moral sense, it means to be free from defilement of sin, hence to purify. It's a medical term used even today. A lot of our medical terms are Latin, which is where Greek and Latin go together. There's a term, a medical term called cathartic. And a cathartic is something that cleans you out. That's a cathartic. Amen. And it's a purgative for the purpose of cleansing out. I thought it's sort of interesting. And flushing out. That's I said it. Cleansing out and flushing out and making pure. And for example, they'll come in and if you've got an IV and maybe they haven't used that particular needle in a while, they'll come in and they'll put a cathartic in there. They'll squirt something in there to clean it out so that then when they put the medicine in, then it'll go. And of course, there's a lot of things that'll clean out our digestive system and different things that are there. So the idea is that it is a purging, a purifying of whatever the case is there, making pure of that thing. The second word, not only is it a purifying, but the word heart is in there. Strong's number 2588, and it's the word cardia. We know that. We use that word quite often. It's the word cardia. Now, in Greek, it's with a K. Both of these words start with a K. So it's alliterated in the King James Bible or in the Greek of the King James Bible. Amen. But it starts with a K. And you say, well, why would they use a K? We still use that. In an EKG, the K is cardia. Electrocardiogram. And it's a K. And that's the Greek term. Now, Latin terms of C, and that's how we use it most of the time. Like we talk about a cardiogram or we talk about they're in cardiac arrest. That's got a C, but it's talking about the heart. That's something that's going on in the heart. When somebody has trouble with the heart, heart disease, we call that cardiovascular disease. The vessels in the heart, something wrong there. I'm afraid that in America today, a lot of people have cardiovascular disease. Now, I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. They got a problem in the heart. Now, and I'll get to it in just a minute, but this dealing with the heart is what the Bible deals with through and through. By the way, that's why people are uncomfortable in the house of God, because they say, I don't like the preacher telling me how I ought to dress. That's not what bothers you. It's the heart. I don't like the preacher telling me how I ought to wear my hair, whether men ought to get it cut or women shouldn't get it cut, or what the case is. Listen, it's not the outward that's the problem. It's the heart that's the issue.
Right.
Amen. And so the Bible over and over and over, as a matter of fact, our Lord Christ in particular goes right to the heart of the matter. Somebody said the heart of the matter is the heart.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what God deals with. Amen. Now, I'll say that in our text and throughout the Bible, the heart, when it's spoken of, is not talking about that muscle in the middle of your chest that pumps blood throughout the body system. Rather, it's talking about the center of a man, woman, boy, or girl. The center of the person. The being deep down. Sometimes the word heart and mind is used interchangeably. And when we think of mind, we think of the brain. But mind and brain, the brain is the organ. The heart is the organ. But really, when we talk about mind and heart, we're talking not about organs. We're talking about the center of a person's being. Who they really are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I've used that illustration before, in particular with my children when they were small. We'd have family devotions. I would use that phrase. We'd use it a lot. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I said to them, that's not literal. It's figurative. Because if a man thinks he's 10 feet tall, it don't make him 10 feet tall. But he'll act like he's 10 feet tall. If he thinks he is, that's what he'll be. You see that? It doesn't make him that, but it makes him act that way. And as a person thinks, and so that dealing with the heart, that heart deals with the thoughts, it deals with the feelings, it deals with the determination, with the attitudes, and those things that are within us, the center of a man's being. Maybe we'd say his personality. Amen. It is the fount from which all issues flow from, the Bible says. Amen. He talks about guard, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Our Lord talked about anger and hatred and murder and strife and adulteries, and he named all kinds of sins that don't come because of what you do with your hands, don't come by where you go with your feet, it don't come by what you do with your mouth. It comes from within the man. Amen. Within the person. So he's dealing with the heart of the issues. We define that. He's speaking about the inward man, not the outward man. It's talking about the spiritual condition of a man, not the physical condition of a man. The focus is on the soul and on the spirit rather than on the body and on the man himself. Amen. The heart is the emphasis of God's message to man. Amen. If you're in Matthew 5, turn over a few pages to Matthew 23. And I've got a lot of verses this morning. Some of them I'm just going to read to you or quote to you. Some of them I'll have you turn and look at. Matthew 23, our Lord Jesus making a statement here in verse 25 down through verse number 28. Matthew 23, verse 25. Our Lord says this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." By the way, I had somebody ask me one time, in English, if you got three groups, you'll have one and a comma, two and a comma, and then the word "and." Our Lord didn't do it that way here. And that's because he's not got three groups. He's putting the scribes, let me find my place there in verse 25 again. He's putting the scribes and the Pharisees in one group. They're both hypocrites. That's what he's saying there. Not saying you scribes, Pharisees, and you hypocrites. He's saying all of you. Aren't you scribes, Pharisees? You're hypocrites, is what he said. Here's why. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Amen. Now, there's a couple of things interesting in this phrase that I just read to you. I'm interested in what our Lord said in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know what He said about these Pharisees? He said, you're not pure in heart, and because of that, you're blind. You can't see. You can't see what God sees. You can't see what God's got to say. You can't see what God's dealing with. You're blind, Pharisees. Not only does He say that, He says you're unclean. Look at verse number 25. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean. Also, that word clean in Matthew 23:26. That verse 26, that's the same word that's translated pure in Matthew 5:8. He's talking about cleansing and making pure. Now, He's not giving them an instruction on how to wash dishes. He's giving them an instruction on how to deal with their heart. He's giving them instructions on how to deal with their soul and with their religious duties. Amen. And so He's talking about the outside needs to be clean, but He said the inside needs to be clean as well. Our Lord often spoke of the dangers of hypocrisy. Amen. He often spoke of the dangers of hypocrisy, especially when it comes to religious purity. He warned often of attempting to appear clean on the outside where men see us. By the way, it goes right with Brother Steve's lesson this morning. A lot of men not interested in the fact that they can't hear from God, that they've offended God. As long as everybody else is happy with them, they're happy. Amen. As long as they think that they're still popular and everything's still running good, doesn't matter what God's got to say about it. Here's what our Lord said. Our Lord said, don't just be concerned about the outside, which everybody sees, but He says, be mainly concerned about the inside. By the way, why is that? Because if your inside is filthy, it will show out sometime or another on the outside. Amen. By the way, if your inside's clean, that'll show out on the outside too. Amen.
Amen.
Sure it will. Amen. And that's right there in your King James Bible. Well, he's using this thought about not being hypocrites. I'll say it's not as if God does not recognize and recommend cleanliness. It's not, our Lord is not saying no need to ever wash your hands. He's not saying no need to ever wash your dishes. But He's saying when you do wash your hands, make sure you don't only have clean hands, but you got a clean heart. Amen. He said when you cleanse your dishes, the inside and the outside, when you cleanse the outside, be sure to cleanse the inside because the outside will eventually become tainted and defiled if the inside is still defiled. Amen. Now, the Word of God emphasizes again and again that we must first get our heart right before we can ever expect to truly get anything else right. Amen. Amen. If you want the outward man to be genuinely holy, you need to work on making the inward man holy. Amen. I could run a lot of rabbits there, and I'll just throw this one out. You can go to church, you can put on a suit, you can look like everything's going good, but if you're feeding your mind on filth, you're not holy before God. You may appear to be holy before men, but you're not holy before God. Amen. And you'll never actually get that outside right until you get that inside right. Amen. You got to deal with that. So the emphasis, by the way, that the emphasis of the Bible is on the heart. The world's emphasis a lot of times is on the head. They say, well, if we just educate them, they wouldn't be so filthy. You go to college campuses and see how filthy they are. Some of the quote-unquote institutes of higher learning, some of the filthiest people in the world. They may be highly educated, but they're filthy on the inside and filthy on the outside as well. Amen. You can be just as educated, and not, by the way, I'm not against education. I'm for it. You can be as educated as you want to be, and if you don't know God, you will be as wicked as the devil. The devil's a pretty smart feller. Amen. That's why our Lord said we need to be wise. How wise is what? As serpents, they're wise. I mean, they got some smarts about them. But harmless as a dove, he said. Amen. Why? We're a different creature. Amen. We're not a serpent, thank God. Well, the idea of the world says there's a head. It's an education problem. If we could just, if we just have more money for education, boy, we could fix the world's problems. It's not helping. By the way, we got higher math. I don't know about all that. I could go a long way. Used to be 2 + 2 = 4. And that's just the way it was. Nowadays, it's just whatever you want it to be. But we can throw the money at that, but when we take the Word of God out, we have dumbed them down. We've not helped them any. Because the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. Amen. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And they have to have some fear of God down in their soul. Amen. But not only the education problem, but our world says it's an environment problem. If I could say it this way, our world seems to say, Bernie Sanders and his crowd says, if we'd just build Jack a better house, he'd be a better boy. That ain't always true either. There's people that live in some of the most luxurious mansions you ever saw that's as wicked as the day is long. That's right. Amen. Their problem is not their education, and their problem is not their environment. The problem is that there is evil on the inside. Their heart is filthy. Amen. Jeremiah 17:9, you don't have to turn. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. God says in the next verse that He knows it. He tries the reins and He knows the hearts of men. Amen. I'm glad He does, but He's telling us that phrase, the heart is deceitful above all things. I can't imagine, Brother Steve said it this morning, and I think about it, how can a man like Saul do what Saul did and stand up, face the preacher, and the first words out of his mouth, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed all the will of God." I mean, get up and say, "I'm in the perfect will of God," when his hands are dripping with the blood of sin, when the sheep are bleating behind him. I mean, there's people that'll get up, they'll live wicked all through the day and all through the week, and then they'll come to church and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." They want to sing like an angel on Sunday and live like a devil all week long. It don't work that way, friend. How can a man be that deceitful? He's deceiving his own self. One thing about deception, lying, deception causes you to lie to everybody else and eventually lie to yourself until you start believing those lies. That's right. Our prayer ought to be what the psalmist said, and I'm not going to have you turn, I'll just read you these. Psalm 51, verse 10. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Our prayer ought to be, "God, you cleanse my heart." Amen. You say, "Preacher, are you saying our heart's dirty?" I'm saying if Jesus' blood hadn't cleansed it, it's dirty. And I'm saying it still gets dirty as we walk through this world. We need the cleansing of God. Amen. Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14. Here's another prayer. "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret thoughts. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of mine heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." That ought to be our prayer, amen. Every day, "Lord, don't let me think anything wrong. Don't let me say anything wrong. Don't let me go anywhere wrong. Don't let me do anything wrong." Amen. Amen. I heard some very wise counsel just the other day. A couple was in the process of trying to help a couple that's having some problems. And here's what this person said. They said, "Never do anything you wouldn't want your children doing." Buddy, I said, that's wise counsel. Matter of fact, there's another man there involved, and he said, "That'd make a good sermon on Sunday." Amen. Amen. Well, that leads me to my next point, not only the defining or the definition of pure in heart, but the duty to be pure in heart. You see, one of the striking facts of our Lord's dealings in the New Testament is how merciful He was to sinners, how compassionate He was to sinners, how loving He was to sinners, but how angry and blunt He was to hypocrites. One juxtaposed against the other. You see, I mean, what a man of love our Lord was to sinners, but how angry He was, how judgmental He was towards those that was trying to hide their sin. Amen. Amen. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 10. I'll show you this as we look at some verses here. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. God demands purity and sincerity. That's the word I'm using, sincerity. Purity has the idea of being sincere. Deuteronomy chapter number 10 and verse number 12. You know that Moses is rehearsing the law to them. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12. And now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God, here it is, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. What does God want? He wants purity when we come to Him. Matter of fact, He demands purity. It can't be watered down worship. It's got to be real worship. Amen. It can't be some concoction. It can't be some conglomeration. It's got to be all our heart come to God. Pure. Come to God with a pure heart. Amen. That's not dealing with sinlessness. But that is dealing with a cleansed. This cup has got water in it. There's nothing in there but water. That we'd say that's pure water. When we come to God, we can't come to God with hypocrisy. God won't accept our worship when we come to Him with hypocrisy. God won't hear our prayers if we come to Him with hypocrisy. That's why He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I'm trying to hang on to sin, I'm saying, all right, God, I'm coming with my sin, but I'm not going to surrender them to You. I'm not going to admit that You're right. Matter of fact, if one of us has got to be wrong, You're going to be the one that's wrong. I'm going to be right in this matter, and I'm going to still worship You. God's not going to honor that. We got to come to Him being clean and pure of those things. Amen. Ready to surrender them to God. Turn to Psalm 24, very familiar psalm and a great psalm. Follows, you know, there's a trilogy, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24, Psalms of David. Amen. Great, great scripture. But in verse number 3 of chapter 24, there's a question asked, and it's answered in verse 4. But here's the question. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? Here's the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. It's not enough just to have clean doings. It's not enough just to say, I'm doing better. We've got to have a clean heart as well. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That does not mean that man has never sinned, but it means that that man has come to God with his whole heart. Amen. He's asking God for cleansing. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 29. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. The same prophet that said, the heart is deceitful above all things. Here's what he said, verse 13 of chapter 29. And ye shall seek me. This is God talking now. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's what God demands. The duty of a man, woman, boy, and girl is to search for God with the whole heart. We're back to the thing Miss Stephanie talked about that thirsting after God. It's not only that we want God. It's that we want only God. Nothing else will satisfy. Nothing else will give us what we need. We're not longing after other things. It's only God we want. Amen. Amen. It's that purity of heart, searching for Him with all of our heart. Amen. You don't have to turn, but 1 Timothy 1:5 says this. Now the end of the commandment, here's the end of it, is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and a faith unfeigned. God's looking for reality. That's what He's looking for. This searching for God in reality. Now, we got to be careful. I talk about being deceitful. Even in our searching for God for revival. I appreciate what Brother Hall said in his prayer. I noticed how he called himself. Listen, he said, pray God revive our church. And I do. If anybody needs it, we need it, Lord. Amen. Amen. If anybody ought to want it, we ought to want it. But then he went on and he said, not ours only. Amen. But others that are seeking after God. Listen, if we're not careful, you know what? We'll want God to show up because we're the one preaching, or we're the one singing that song, or we're the church that's having the meeting, so we want God to show up. All of a sudden, it's not for God's glory. It's for ours. We're deceiving our own self. Amen. But we got to search for God. Here's the idea of it. We got to search for Him with all our heart. God, I don't care if I'm the one preaching or somebody else is preaching. I don't care if I'm the one singing or somebody else is singing. I don't care if we're holding a meeting or somebody else is holding a meeting. God, we've got to have You. That's what we got to have. We got to get to that purity of heart. Amen. Seeking after God. Amen. Number three, there's the development of a pure heart. There's the defining. There's the duty. God said you got to have a pure heart. How can you get that? Well, four things listed this morning in the development of a pure heart. First of all, salvation's necessary. That's got to be first base. That's got to be first base. You're not even in the game, if I can use that terminology again, unless you're saved. Amen. You got to be saved. And What can wash away my sin? That good old Baptist song, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Only the blood of Jesus can wash our sins away. Church membership is good in its own place, but if you've never been washed in the blood, your name's still not on the book of God. Amen. Amen. You got to be washed in the blood. 1 John 1:9. You know these verses. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us, thank God. That is, purify us from all unrighteousness. What does that? The blood of Jesus does that. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Amen. What washed our sins away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. I'm glad there is a fountain filled with blood and it's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners, it don't matter red, yellow, black, or white, how big, small, or little they are, all sinners that'll come to Him can be washed pure and white from their sin. Amen. There are some that teach that the baptismal pool wash your sins away. Can I tell you, that would help the outside. But unless you swallow a lot of it, you ain't going to get no washing on the inside. Most time, I've not been normal of holding them down long enough to swallow a lot of it. What washes the heart, that's what He's dealing with, it's got to be more than water. It's got to be the blood of Jesus. You say, the heart's dealing with the spirit. It's got to be a spiritual washing, amen. And what is spiritual but the blood of God, amen. The blood of Jesus Christ. God is looking for the inner cleansing that comes from nothing but the blood, amen. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. He talked to a religious man that lived clean. As somebody said, clean as a hound's tooth. But he was clean as could be on the outside. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, you've got a problem and ye must be born again. Amen. He's talking about the blood of Jesus. Salvation develops a pure heart. Secondly, the Scripture develops a pure heart. Turn to John 15. Verses you probably know. John 15, 3. John 15, 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Amen. The Word cleanses us. Turn to John 17, our Lord's high priestly prayer. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That word sanctify means cleanse, wash. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. You don't have to turn, you probably don't. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Verse number 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. What does the Bible do? It'll keep you from sin. It'll cleanse you. Amen. Salvation cleanses. Scriptures cleanse. Then there's supplication. Prayer cleanses. I've already dealt with Psalm 19, 12 through 14, where he's talking about, clean me, Lord. Clean me. Keep me from presumptuous sins. Amen. Psalm 51, I read verse 10. Turn back there if you will. Let's read the first seven verses of Psalm 51. I want to show you the psalmist's prayer for cleansing. Amen. You ought to pray for cleansing. Amen. Pray for cleansing. Psalm 51, verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Well, right there it is. There's acknowledgement, confession. Amen. And my sin is ever before me against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me, that's the word purifying now. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. By the way, let me back up. When David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, he wasn't trying to justify sin. He wasn't trying to blame it on his mama. He wasn't trying to blame it on his nature. He just said, I've been rotten the whole way through, is what he's saying. Amen. He said, I've been rotten the whole way through, and I need some cleansing. I need God to wash me and cleanse me. I'm glad prayer can clean you up. Amen. And then last of all, in this, how to cleanse ourselves, the last thing I've got, separation. Salvation, that's necessary. Scriptures to clean you up. Supplication, pray to clean you up. And then separation. Now, most folks don't want to hear much preaching about separation. But it is a key ingredient on being pure. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. A verse I know you know. I want you to see it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now I want to say this. I mentioned earlier, reading the Bible will purify you. What do you think reading filth does? Put your face in the Bible, and it'll cleanse you. But what do you reckon puts your face in front of television? Amen. A whole lot of what's on the internet. Amen. Amen. By the way, I'm not saying you got to go home and throw your television out, but I can't recommend one show on it, not one. Amen. And I wouldn't be against you throwing it out, by the way. I'm just saying, I'm not here telling you have to, but I am saying this. I am saying there's a whole lot of what we do in our world that's not cleansing us. It's actually contaminating us. There's a whole lot of, listen, there's aisles down the supermarket you don't even need to walk through. If you do walk through, you better have the blinders on. Amen. That's right. Need to be careful what you look at. I heard a man make this statement this week. A man was talking about another man that had been a youth leader in a church. And here's what he said. He said there's on a youth group travel somewhere, and he said they went through this place, and he said, I happened. He said, I'd known the man for years. He said, he was a good man. Everything I knew was impeccable. But he said, I happened to walk by an aisle, and I saw him by the magazine rack looking at magazines that I wouldn't even think about looking at. That's what he said. He said, I thought, oh no. And he said, I walked on. But he said, it wasn't but a matter of time. And it's more the magazines he's looking at. What happened? Filth in makes you filthy. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. Better be careful what you pull up on your phone. You better be careful what you pull up on your computer. Amen. You better be careful. Listen, and it don't have to be on the magazine or the billboards or the computer. I'm telling you, there's enough wickedness and immodesty in our world today. You can see it at Walmart. Matter of fact, you can see it in the average church today. What you got to do? You got to ask God, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, help me not to think on anything that's wrong. Help me not to look on it. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Amen. I made a covenant with my eyes that I wouldn't look upon a maid. Amen. Amen. Separation. There's some places you don't need to go. There's some people you don't need to hang around with. Amen. But Steve's teaching this morning about Saul. Saul blamed the people. He said, the people did it, and I was scared. I was afraid of them. I went along with them. And that's the argument of so many people. I got with the wrong crowd. But can I tell you, if you do get with the wrong crowd and you stay with them, it is hard not to be just what they are. There's an old saying. It's not in the Bible, but there's an old saying, birds of a feather flock together. Amen. There's some birds I don't want to fly with. Say amen right there. There's some birds you need to stay away from. And that don't, listen, I'm not saying be holier than thou, but I'm just saying be holier. Amen. Be holier. Just live for God. Amen. And glorify God. I could go through a whole lot of things on that. Be careful who your friends are. Another man said it. I've heard it in several sermons. Different people said, but you either are or soon will be what your friends are. People you hang around. Listen, if you hang around people that love NASCAR, you'll start loving NASCAR. You hang around people that talk about basketball, you'll start talking about basketball. Amen. You hang around people that do these different things and it'll eventually rub off on you. You can't help it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's some things we need to avoid. Amen. 2 Corinthians. We're in first. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm almost done. 2 Corinthians 6:14. I'm talking about how do you develop purity of heart. First of all, it takes a work of grace. Amen. Salvation, that's what it takes. Once we're saved, our Lord's still interested in us maintaining that purity. Amen. Let me say this. I'm going to move on in a minute. It is important. I say, especially you young people, it is important that you keep yourself pure for the wedding altar. It's important. Not just so that you can wear white and not be ashamed. Not just so that you can, you know, make the statement and somebody can make a thing. No, listen, it'll help your marriage if you'll keep yourself pure. It'll keep thoughts out of your mind and doubts out of your mind. Amen. Amen. It'll help you if you'll just stay pure. But can I say, not just to the wedding altar. Once you've got her, or once she's got him, they need to still stay pure and keep themselves only to that one so long as you both shall live. Amen. It's important that you keep yourself pure. All right, I'm back. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. By the way, let me say, I can't help it. Mike Pence made a statement and they jumped on him. They said here's the statement. The media said, Mike Pence is afraid of women. Well, some of them you better be afraid of. But Mike Pence said that he wouldn't eat alone with another woman. That's what he said. And they made fun of him. They made fun of him because he said he wouldn't eat alone with another woman. They said, I'm telling you, and there's men think nothing of it. I mean, on lunch break, but they'll just go off and sit across the table from another woman. They're just friends. I'm telling you, you're opening the door for trouble. Amen. If nothing else, there is an appearance of evil. Amen. And the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. Lord, help us. There's so much adultery and fornication and home breaking going on in our society. Somebody has got to say something and do something. Amen. Purity. We need purity again. Amen. Second Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, here it is, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I say amen right there. That's not talking about how to get saved. He's not saying you come out from them, and then you can be my child. No, he said live like a child of God if you are a child of God. This book of Corinthians written to a church is written to people that were already saved by the grace of God. And he's saying don't live like the world lives. Don't live like sinners live. He said live like a child of God lives. Amen. Amen. I'm afraid that I've seen men have to look their wife in the face after getting caught in some sin. I've seen them look them in the face and say, I'm sorry. Tears drip off their chin. I've seen them have to look at their children and say, I'm sorry. I've had them come to me and say, Preacher, I'm sorry that I let you down. Here's been my statement every time. It's not me. It's not me that you need to be sorry to. There's somebody who's done a whole lot more for you than I ever did. Hey, by the way, you ought to love that woman. I mean, she's fixed your breakfast. She's made your bed. She's took care. Amen. She's done so much for you that you ought to love her and not some harlot. Say amen right there. That's right. But more than her, think what Jesus did for you. Think what God did for you. I mean, how in the world can you trample His blood underfoot? How in the world can you do this great evil and sin against God? That's what the Bible says. Amen. You say, Preacher, who you preach to? I don't know. I don't know. But God does. That's not my message, but that's my message. Amen. Some people need to stay away from. There's some associations you might just need to say, I'm sorry. I got to quit this. Amen. If you don't want to be that person, I'm talking about if you don't want to be the adulterer, then don't give yourself an opportunity to be an adulterer. Amen. If you don't want to be a homebreaker, don't give yourself an opportunity to be a homebreaker. Oh, I could go on and on and on and on. If we're going to have holiness in our heart, we're going to have to guard what comes in our eye gate. We're going to have to guard what comes in our ear gate. By the way, there's some music you ain't got no business listening to. I know we harp on rock music. People say, oh, that's just a hobby horse. No, it's not. But it is damning a generation, generations. It's wrecked a number of homes. Amen. You just look at the performers, what it does to them. But it's not just rock music. Country music's country music is about like drinking light beer, not just instead of drinking Michelob, you're drinking Michelob Light. Instead of drinking Bud Dumber, you're drinking Bud a little bit less dumb. Still dumb. Guard what comes in our eye gate. Guard what comes in our ear gate. Guard what comes in our senses. We have to put a guard up. A guard around our heart. Amen. Well, Philippians chapter 4, I'll give you this. You know it, but I'll give it to you. Last verse, and I'll close. I'm talking about how to develop a pure heart. And I guess, in a sense, this developing deals with maintaining because we've got to work on it. Here's what he said, Philippians 4, 8. Finally, brethren. Now, by the way, let me, before I read that, he's just come through talking about God keeping our heart, the peace of God. Keeping our heart and keeping our mind through Christ Jesus. Now he's telling us what we got to do, our part of it. Look at it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. That counts out CNN, CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC. A whole lot of Fox. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I said the other day in my message on hungering and thirsting after righteousness, that phrase, you are what you eat. But it is scriptural. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Instead of thinking about the things the world thinks about, get to thinking some heavenly thoughts, some blessed thoughts, and ask God to help you with that. Sow some good seed in the soil of your mind. I know there's enough bad in there, and you can't always root it out. I'm amazed. I was searching the radio yesterday trying to find. Matter of fact, I was looking for a particular station that I knew roughly where it was, but I didn't know the call letters. And I came across, it must have been the Golden Oldies because it's something that I grew up with. And I'm telling you, those words, I remembered every word. I didn't listen to every word of the song, but I remembered every one of them. I remembered who the singer was. It's in there. It's in there. I wish I could get it out. I can't get it out. One of these days, God will wash it out. Amen. But right now, what I can do, somebody said one of the best ways to have a good stand of grass in the yard is to sow enough good seed that it chokes out some of the bad seed. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. As we have an invitation time, if the Lord spoke to you, if you need to come, you need a pure heart. You do. You need a pure heart. We need help from the Lord to have that. Are you saved? Are you on first base? If you're saved, are you reading your Bible? Are you in that Bible? How much? Are you praying? Are you asking God to cleanse you? Are you separating yourself from those things you already know? You may not need God to show you something else to get away from. You may need to do what He's already told you to do. And just obey the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. I thank You for the Word of God. I thank You for the reproving, the correcting, and the instructing from the Word of God. Lord, I pray You'd make us perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That we could glorify our Father. They might see and glorify You. Lord, have Your way in this invitation time. Father, I pray, deal with the hearts of men. Help us not just to deal with the externals. Help us not just to deal with the fruit. Dear God, help us cut the tree down at the root. Let the axe be laid to the root. That our heart might be cleansed. That our life might be clean. And that You'd get glory and honor. Lord, I pray, work according to Thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. You obey the Lord. You might need to join these in the altar. You might need to just make your own place. Whatever God says, you do what He says.